As this is the first time that I've been able to speak to you since I came here as a missionary, my prayer is that God will speak to you through today's message. I want to talk to you today about having an effective life for Christ. Ask you a question. When you woke up this morning, did you wake up thinking, I want to be a failure today? Did you wake up thinking to yourself, I want everything I do today to end in failure? Did you make a New Year's resolution to be a failure this year? Anybody? Nobody. Nobody wants to be a failure. Nobody likes the feeling of failure. We want to succeed at the things we do. We want to be successful in our job. We want to get a promotion. We want to do a good job. We want to be successful in school. We want to pass the test. We want to get into a good university. We want to be successful in our relationships. We want to have a good marriage. We want to have a good relationship with our friends and neighbors. The feeling of success is so much better than the feeling of failure. I have another question for you. When you became a Christian, did you want to be a successful Christian? Or did you want to fail as a Christian? My guess is that you, like me, want to be a successful Christian. We want to stand before God one day and hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Yet there are many followers of Christ who wonder, will I hear God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? They wonder, what do I need to do in order to be a good, effective, successful Christian? They wonder how they can be the Christian God has called them to be. I know that I want to do everything that I can do to live my life in a way that is pleasing to God, so that I know that I'll be a successful Christian. And I want others to know that I'm a Christian. I want people to see my life and see Jesus in my life. I want to be fruitful and effective so that other people will desire to have what I have. But when I was a young Christian, I wondered, what do I need to do so that people will know that I'm a follower of Jesus? Do you ever wonder what it takes to be a good follower of God? If so, I have good news for you. God didn't just leave us here and tell us to be an effective Christian without any direction. He didn't say, go be fruitful, but I'm not going to help you. I'm not going to tell you how to do it. God left us a blueprint in the Bible to tell us how to be successful as a Christian. Let's read 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, they will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So here in this passage, the Apostle Peter is giving us three characteristics or traits of an effective Christian. First, an effective Christian is fruitful and effective. Second, they have spiritual discernment. And third, they will never fall away from the faith. I don't know about you, but if I could say that I had these three traits in my life, I would think that I was being a pretty successful and effective Christian. But maybe these traits seem to be out of your reach. Maybe they seem too difficult to have in your life. Maybe you think that these kind of traits are only for super spiritual people, for the missionary, for the pastor, or maybe the Sunday school teacher. But these traits are for all Christians. All Christians should have these traits in their life, and they should be visible to other people. So how do we get these traits in our life? Let's read this passage in 2 Peter one more time. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to notice something about this passage. Three times Peter says these qualities. There's only four verses here, so for him to say the same phrase three different times, he must be trying to tell us something important. So there's something important about these qualities. And secondly, these qualities are what guarantee us the success of a Christian life. So let's look at how these qualities guarantee our success. First of all, verse 8 says that these qualities will guarantee our fruitfulness and our effectiveness in Jesus. So if these qualities are found in our life, if they're found in our life and growing, then we won't be barren. We'll be producing fruit for Jesus, fruit that people will see that we're a follower of Jesus. You know, when we see an apple tree with the apples on it or an orange tree with oranges on it, we know that it's an apple tree. We know that it's an orange tree. But if we see a tree without any fruit on it, we don't know what kind of tree it is. So that's like us as Christians. When we have fruit in our life, people will see us and know that we're Christians. But when we're not producing fruit, they'll look at us and say, I don't know that you're a Christian. And with that, there's the implication that when we're bearing fruit, we're going to be a testimony for Jesus. We'll be a witness to our friends, to our neighbors, to our relatives. And they'll know Jesus through us. Verse 9 says that these qualities guarantee us spiritual discernment. Many Christians, as much as they love God and love Jesus, they lack spiritual discernment. They have trouble telling truth from error, right from wrong. Maybe they hear a new teaching on the radio or on the internet, or they read something and they're not sure if it's true or not. It has sound of truth to it, but they don't know if it's really from God or not. The devil has a good way of mixing truth and error to confuse people. And if we don't have spiritual discernment, we can't tell if it's true or not. But when we have spiritual discernment in our life, we'll be able to see the tricks and traps of the devil. We'll be able to say, hey, I know what's truth, and I know that what you're saying really isn't true. So we need to be having spiritual discernment in our life. And verse 10 says, these qualities guarantee that you will never fall away from the faith. Now, there's a few different ways that people have interpreted what it means to fall away from the faith. Some people say that this verse is saying that we won't stumble in sin in our life. Others say that Peter is saying that we won't commit what is called apostasy and walk away from the faith or give up our faith. And I think that's what Peter's trying to say, is that if we have these qualities in our life, we're going to stay strong in our faith, even when the difficult times of life come, when stress and work and family and living in a country like Japan where there's so few Christians and it's difficult to be a Christian, we won't give up and say, I'm done with this Christian thing. I don't want to be a Christian anymore. No, we're going to keep strong in our faith and keep being strong for Jesus. So if these qualities can guarantee these three things in our life, they must be pretty important qualities. They must be pretty powerful things. So let's find out what these qualities are. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. So here Peter lists seven qualities that we need to have in our life to be an effective and successful Christian. Verse 5 tells us that we need to supplement our faith with these seven qualities. After all, faith is the cornerstone of the Christian life. Without faith in Jesus, we don't have a Christian life, so we wouldn't need to worry about being a successful Christian. Our faith in Christ is what separates us from all the other people in this world. All the other religions may follow their God, but faith in Christ is what separates us from them. And as important as faith is, and it is very important, faith by itself is not enough to guarantee a successful Christian life. But what does Peter mean when he says, supplement your faith? What does it mean to supplement our faith? I want you to think about a vitamin for a minute. A vitamin is a supplement. It's a supplement to all the other things we do to remain healthy. We exercise, we eat right, we take care of our body, we don't put things in our body that are going to harm our body, and we take the vitamin so that it'll support or help all of the other things we're doing to stay healthy so that we're strong as a person. So in a similar way, these seven qualities, they supplement, they support our faith so that we're strong in Christ. Another translation in English says that we're supposed to add these qualities to our faith. And when the word add is used there, it doesn't mean a math problem. It's not like 1 + 1 = 2. We don't take one quality and add it to another quality and get a third quality. What Peter is saying is that it's like a recipe. When we make cookies, we follow a recipe. So we know which ingredient to add and how much of that ingredient to add so that we know that we'll have a good tasting cookie at the end of the day. So we take these qualities and we add them together and we mix them together like a recipe so that we turn out to be a good Christian, a good looking Christian. So let's take a look at these ingredients or these qualities. Quality number one is virtue. Virtue is living a moral or holy life. Literally, this means excellent living. God is telling us that He wants us to live our lives in a way that is moral and holy. This kind of purity extends to every area of our life, our mental, our physical, and our spiritual life. We need to be living all aspects of our life in a moral and holy way. When we maintain purity in our life, we become more and more like Jesus. And as we become more and more like Jesus, we will be more attractive to people so that they will come to know Jesus. When I was a child, I often heard this saying, garbage in, garbage out. Which basically means if all we do is put garbage and bad things into our life, we're only going to produce bad things. We're going to put garbage out in our life. So instead, we need to be putting moral and pure and holy things into our life. So then we'll produce good and holy things. God wants us to be holy because He is holy. And we can't be holy if we're not careful of what we're watching, careful of where we're going, careful of what we're worshiping. The second quality is knowledge. Peter's not talking about the knowledge we get from intellectual pursuits. Not that it's wrong to be smart, it's not wrong to study and become an intelligent person, but Peter wants us to pursue spiritual knowledge. We can be the smartest person alive and still lack spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge is the ability to tell evil from good, to tell right from wrong. This is where we start to develop our spiritual discernment so that we can tell when we're hearing truth and when we're hearing error. This is also the ability to discern God's will in a given situation. How many times someone has come to me and said, you know, what's God's will for my life? I have a choice to make. Do I do this job or do I do that job? And I'm not sure what God's will is. You know, I want to do God's will, but how do I tell what God's will is for my life? I know I've asked that question before. I've wondered, you know, God, is this your will for my life? Am I doing what you want? Well, the best way to know if it's God's will for your life is to get to know God better. When we get married, we get to know our spouse more and more. We start to know what they like, what they want us to do for them. In the same way, as we get to know God more and more, we know what He would will for us. We also increase our spiritual knowledge by staying in His Word, reading His Word, and studying His Word. That way we get to know, okay, I'm going to make this decision and I know for sure that that's God's will for my life because I know God. Quality number three is self-control. Self-control meaning I do not do as I please, but I control myself and do as the Lord pleases. This is a hard thing for many people because it's really easy to do what I want. It's really easy to not have self-control and say, you know, I know, God, you have a way you want me to do things, but your way is too hard. So I'm going to do it my way. And there's many areas in our life that we need to be controlling. But one area that many people struggle with is controlling their tongue. The book of James calls our tongue a fire, a world of unrighteousness. And you notice James doesn't say that it's our mind, our body, our heart, but our tongue that's a world of unrighteousness. This little part of our body can cause us a lot of trouble if we're not careful. Many times we speak to each other and we tell lies, or we gossip, or we say things that we shouldn't say to each other. And that shouldn't be the way we talk to people. We need to be telling the truth. We need to be speaking to each other in a way that is pleasing and honoring to God. But not only do we need to be careful of what we say, we need to be careful of how we say things. Sometimes the way we say things to people does more damage than what we're actually saying. When we yell at people, or we talk to people like they're not as smart as we are, we talk down to them, we talk in a condescending way to people, it makes people not feel good about themselves. And we shouldn't be talking to each other that way. So instead of yelling at people or talking to them like they're less than we are, we should talk to them in love and in a way that lifts them up and builds them up in Jesus. Our tongues can be controlled, even though it seems to be hard. But when we seek to do the will of God, we will be able to control our tongue and our other selfish desires. Quality number four is steadfastness. Now, steadfastness is a little bit of an older word, which basically means patience. So patience is the ability to endure when circumstances in life are difficult. When the pressures and problems of life, when our boss is giving us too much work to do, when we're having trouble in our family, when we're in ministry and things are difficult in ministry, it can seem like there's a big storm around us and it's too hard to go on and we just kind of want to give up and say, I can't do this anymore. These are the times when God is going to give us strength when we are patient, when we wait on Him to help us through these difficult times. Patience also includes long-suffering. Long-suffering is the ability to deal with problem people. And we all have people in our life that are difficult, people who are hard to live with. Maybe our boss at work keeps passing us over for a promotion. He treats us like we're not a good worker, even though we're a hard worker. Or we have a co-worker who maybe they're unethical, or maybe they just aren't easy to work with. Or maybe someone here at church is hard for you to get along with. Maybe you don't see eye to eye in many things and you just can't get along with them. But when we're patient with them, we'll be able to deal better with the problems they present in our life. And when we're patient with people, other people will notice that. And they will come to us and they'll ask us, how do you deal with these situations? I see you handling life's pressure so much better than I do. And then we can tell them about Jesus and how Jesus helps us through difficult times. And by doing so, we're a testimony and a witness for Him. Quality number five is godliness. This simply means godlikeness. This describes the person who is right with God and he's right with his fellow man. This person lives above the pettiness of this world. They live above the pressures and passions of this world. They don't always seek to have the newest and best gadgets. They don't have to have all the latest toys. They don't need the new house, the new car, because they're looking to do God's will. They are not controlled by the things of this world. They don't get trapped by the things of this world. And also, this person puts the needs of others before their own. They say, you first, I'll go second. But when we start to say, me first, I want to be first, we start to push other people behind us. And by doing so, we push God behind us. And we put ourselves on the pedestal. And we say, I'm number one. But when we practice godliness, we say, God, you're number one. Quality number six is brotherly affection. Some other translations call this brotherly kindness or brotherly love. And that's really what it means, to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. God wants us to love each other in the church, just like we would our earthly brothers and sisters. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to agree all the time. We can agree to disagree in a loving way, because we're not always going to agree. But we need to love each other. When we don't love each other, we're not only hurting the other person, we're hurting the church and we're hurting God. Now, the world looks at us as Christians and as a church, and they see us fighting all the time. And they wonder, why do Christians fight so much? They see this group over here and this group over there, and they don't like each other. So they don't want to become a Christian because they say, you guys can't even get along. You don't even like each other. Why would I want to join your group? So we need to be a testimony to the world and get along and love each other. Quality number 7 is love. Now, this is not the love of love songs or romantic movies. This is agape love. The self-sacrificing, never-ending, all-encompassing love that Jesus showed us when he died on the cross. In today's world, the word love has really lost its true meaning. We hear it all the time. People say, I love pizza. I love ice cream. You know, I love the gift you gave me. We say love for many things. But would we really die for those things? You know, I might like ice cream, might even say I love ice cream, but I wouldn't die for an ice cream cone. But I love my children, and I would die for them. And that's the kind of love God wants us to have for every person in this world, not just our brothers and sisters in Christ, but for our unsaved neighbors, for our unsaved relatives. God wants us to be willing to lay our life down for them. And when we practice this kind of love, God will be first, others will be second, and then we will be third. This kind of love is not easy, but when we have it in our life, we'll know that we have reached the climax of our Christian life. We'll know that we are truly following God. Now, when we look at this passage, this may seem like a checklist of things that we just need to do. But I want to caution you and tell you that this isn't just a checklist. These aren't things that we say, I'm going to master this today and move on to the next one. We don't develop one quality and check it off our list and then move on to the next one. We don't say, well, I need patience in my life and I'm going to take 3 or 4 days and practice patience, and by then I should be pretty good with patience, and then I can move on to brotherly kindness, and that one's going to take me a little longer, so I'm going to take a week or two and practice brotherly kindness, and by then I should have that mastered, and then I can move on to self-control, which I know will take me longer, so I'm going to give myself 6 months to practice that one. No, we need to be doing all of these qualities at one time. We need to be developing them in our life. We need to be growing and increasing these qualities in our life. And also, these qualities don't build off of each other. We don't have to have virtue first and then knowledge and then the next one. They're not dependent upon each other. Peter could have written these qualities in any order, but for some reason he chose the order he did. The important thing is that we are practicing these qualities, that these qualities can be found in our life and that they are growing. So when we take these qualities and we mix them together like our recipe for cookies, and mix them together and get a good cookie, we mix these qualities into our faith and we'll become a good and effective Christian. We'll become the Christian, the successful Christian God wants us to be. Now that we know what these qualities are and what they can do for us, I have 2 questions for you. First, are you lacking the foundational quality of faith in your life? Can you say that you truly know Jesus as your Savior? If not, I want to encourage you today to stop someone here at church and ask them how you can become a Christian, how you can become a follower of Christ. But for those of you who are Christians, who are followers of God, do you look at your life and say, I'm really lacking in 1 or 2 or more of these qualities? You know, I know I should be more patient with people. I know I need more self-control in my life. If so, I want you to take this year and say, I'm going to start practicing these things. You know, it's a new year. It's a time of change. Is it time to make changes in your life? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for this day. I just pray that we would be trying to be an effective Christian for you, that we want to be an effective and successful Christian. Just pray that if we notice things in our life that need work, that we need to work on these qualities, that we would work on them, and if we need help, that we would seek help from someone who does have these qualities and learn how to have this quality in our life. Just pray that we would be effective for you, that we would be a testimony and a witness to others, that we would love our brothers and sisters so that the world will see us and say, I want to be like them. Just pray that if there's anyone here today who doesn't know you, that they would take that step and come to know you. And I just pray that you would give us a good week. Just pray that you would keep us healthy so that we can be a servant for you. And pray this in your name. Amen.